The stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are taking a look at the rogue cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. This is part one of a three-part series. Part one and two, we'll take a look at the level zero cards. Well, part three, we'll take a look at the upgrades. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. A quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a +1, 0, or Elder Thing, respectively. Cards that you build around, or cards that are good in one particular investigator, get a Blessed Token. Before I get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. We are back with our review of the revised core set. This time we are taking a look at the rogue cards. We're kicking things off with Switchblade. It is a one-cost asset that has an agility skill icon, the item weapon, melee, and illicit traits. It is fast as an action. You may fight if you succeed by two or more. This attack deals +1 damage, and it takes up a hand slot. We talked a little bit about in the review of the 45 automatic and the machete that the baseline for a good weapon is typically one that has at least +1 combat skill bonus and +1 damage. If it doesn't have that, it has to do something else to be effective. In the case of Switchblade, it is fast. Unfortunately, I do not think that is enough to make up for that lack of both a combat skill bonus and locking the +1 damage behind a succeed by two mechanic.
Yeah, that's the big thing. If Skids had like a 5 combat, then that succeed by two or more would be reasonable on smaller enemies. But man, oh man, having a 3 combat investigator... or a 1 combat with Wendy, this card just becomes so unusable.
I'd play Knife over this.
I would.
Because it doesn't help you pass the test.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you who are just starting out in the game, the succeed by 2 mechanic is sort of, they play around with it a little bit in the rogue card pool here, but basically, if you're playing on, say, standard difficulty, ideally you want to be 2 up on the test difficulty before you pull, and that pretty much guarantees that you'll succeed. That gives you your best bang for your buck. You're probably going to succeed without overcommitting cards to the skill test if you're 2 up. In order to succeed by 2, you almost need to be 4 up before the test to counteract that. And when you're starting at a 3 combat, that is an awful lot of cards that you are going to have to commit, or resources that you're going to have to spend on a talent like Hard Knocks to boost your combat skill high enough that you can succeed by 2 consistently. And when you're starting into 3 and your weapon's not giving you +1 combat, man, the difference between getting from a 3 to a 7 is, that's just a lot. And Wendy, you're starting at a 1. It's just... there's no conceivable way that Wendy is succeeding by 2 on anything with this. It's just the wrong weapon in this box, I think, for the investigators that they have. Now, there are, as your card pool expands, there is Tony Morgan from the Dream Eater cycle who has 5 combat. The Switchlight Blade becomes a lot better in him. It is worth noting that there is a level 2 upgrade in the Essex County Express Mythos pack for Switchblade, which is... almost goes in the opposite direction where it's too good. So yeah, it's really yeah, good. This one is it's bad. Don't play
it. Yeah, the key behind the Essex County Express level 2 version is that it helps you get to that. It boosts your combat, so it helps you get achieve that succeeding by 2.
And it boosts it by 2, which is huge. Like if it you'd sort of expect, given how the upgrades tend to sort of gradually go up in power, the jump from giving 0 combat bonus to 2 combat bonus is massive for those rogues. How will we rate the Switchblade?
I mean, how much of a tentacle will we give it? I would give it 1 auto fail, please.
Yeah, as I mentioned earlier, I would play Knife over this because I think landing the test for 1 damage is just better than not boosting your test at all. Like, it doesn't help you. I mean, I'd run anything that helps you make a single damage test succeed than this.
That fast keyword has to do an awful lot of heavy lifting to make the switchblade worthwhile, and playing a knife, taking the action to play a knife, knowing that I can at least get a combat bonus, and if I have to throw that knife away to get a damage bonus, that's fine by me. Yeah, this one is a hard auto fail, which is a sad way to begin the the rogue reviews, but such is life. Actually, it just gets worse, unfortunately. The next card we are looking at is Burglary, a one-cost asset with an intellect skill icon, talent, and illicit trait. As a action, you may exhaust Burglary, investigate. If you succeed, instead of discovering clues, gain 3 resources. The rogue card pool is so depressing at the beginning.
Well, this one, I think we do need to go into why we feel, well, I assume we all feel, you know, really bad about this card. It really comes down to the fact that Burglary is very slow, and you have to ask yourself, why aren't you playing Emergency Cash instead?
I didn't have the patience to sit down and do the math on why this one is so slow and inefficient, but over on the ArkhamDB page for Burglary, I believe it's Caius Druitt calculated that you really need to be triggering Burglary 4+ times a game before you start to turn a profit, because you've got to take an action to play this thing, you've got to take and pay a resource for it, you got to pay a card for it, then you've got to take another action to do it, and an action that, frankly, Skids isn't particularly good at. With only 3 intellect, you're not going to be able to investigate really reliably at all but the lowest of shroud locations. And it's slightly better for Wendy, but Wendy can run a pretty lean deck without having to rely on a lot of resources. So taking the action to do this is just not particularly worthwhile. There is a level 2 upgrade for Burglary available in the Dark Side of the Moon Mythos pack, but the problem for me with that is, like, we weren't playing the level 0 version of Burglary. What makes you think that we wanted a level 2 version of Burglary? Like, it's just like one of those upgrades that's just not necessary. And sometimes I think, you know, the designers, God bless them, try to turn a card that was bad into a card that was good. And I think sometimes you just have to call a spade and say, Burglary is bad. It does not do what we thought it would do, and just leave it at that. Now, I should note, as I did with the Roland advice page in the revised core set rules, the advice for Skids suggests that Burglary is key to his success. Do not believe that. Burglary is not. Do not play it, and take it out of your deck and move on.
If you're succeeding on 4 investigates in order for this thing to, like, break even and become profitable, just take 4 clues instead, because then you're actually advancing the game.
Yeah, you're advancing the win condition of the game. And I mean, you could say, okay, you're getting an extra action and a resource out of every action you ply into this thing. But I mean, it's just not worth it.
It's because you have to succeed. You know, it's more than just spending an action to do Burglary. You have to actually succeed at the investigate. So that means you can fail at the test.
I should mention, for completeness sake, that there is an investigator in the Dunwich Legacy box, Rex Murphy, who there have been Burglary Rex Murphy builds around, because Rex actually gets a clue when he uses the investigate off of Burglary. But again, if you want resources, Rex can take Dr. Mylan Christopher. And as we established in the Seeker reviews, there aren't that many Seekers who are not going to use Dr. Mylan Christopher, so...
Yeah, I think the other knock against this card is that aside from talents, there isn't a lot to spend your resources on outside of Skids. If you're using Burglary to fuel Skids, then just spend the resources you have to use Skids' ability. Like, you're not gaining anything other than a maybe one resource here and there. So yeah, this card's a trap. Don't play it. It's an auto fail.
Going right to the ratings I see, Nathan. it's an auto fail.
Wow, two auto fails right off the bat. The rogues aren't looking good here right at the beginning here. They do get better, we promise.
We promise.
But yeah, the rogues do have a few duds to get through. Speaking of cards that are not duds, we will go on to pickpocketing. Level 2 cost asset with an agility skill icon. Talent elicit as a response after you evade an enemy, exhaust pickpocketing. Draw one card. One of the very few ways, I think it may be the only way in the revised core set for rogues to get any sort of consistent card draw. Both Skids and Wendy have 4 agility, so this is right up their alley.
Yeah, and both of those investigators want card draw, so this is a pretty solid card for them.
Yeah, I agree. You take something that Skids and Wendy are good at, and you turn it into an additional action in the form of drawing a card, which you usually like to do. This is very solid because, you know, it's a one-card engine. You do something that you're already doing, and you get paid for it. It's kind of like the Dr. Milan of Rogue in a way.
Kind of, yeah. That being said, it's contingent on you drawing enemies, being engaged with them, and evading them. So, unlike Milan, that just involves you playing Arkham Horror, the card game, pickpocketing is a little more tenuous to set up.
That's true. And yeah. you do have to get pickpocketing out there before you have an enemy on you, because so there is that.
It's probably slightly stronger in multiplayer, where the number of enemies is going to be, you're going to be drawing more enemies just because the more cards you draw, the higher the chance is. So, and if you are playing, especially, I think this is probably a little better in Wendy simply because she lends herself to that dodge tank style of play where she can take enemies off people and sort of keep them busy while other investigators take care of the more important jobs, like gathering clues. So getting those extra cards, and of course for Wendy, having those extra cards, all those extra cards are extra draws from the chaos bag. So that really, you've got basically here, you've got the engine that can fuel her special ability, which works out quite well. Now, if you do like pickpocketing, there is a level 2 upgrade available in the Phantom of Truth Mythos pack that if you succeed by 2, not only do you get to draw a card, but you gain a resource as well. So a nice perk for upgrading. This does have the elicit trait. We did see that on the Switchblade as well. Elicit does become a little bit more relevant as your card pool grows, but as of yet, they've done a little bit with it, but not a great deal. So hopefully Elicit will get a little more love here in future expansions. What do we think about pickpocketing?
I think this is a pretty solid plus one in the core set. You know, like you were saying, Wendy really likes this card. She can set up a lot of dodge tanking with pickpocketing and her ability. And Skids has a 4 agility as well, so he can make pretty good use of this card. And both of them want card draw.
Yeah, I like this one very much as well, and I would also give this a plus one. I mean, the fact that you do have to get the pickpocketing out there before you draw enemies that you want to evade, that is a little bit of a strike against it, but other than that, this is solid. This is kind of how a good way to start getting yourself introduced to the really interesting things you can do with Rogue, succeeding on things and getting other things triggered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I agree that plus one is the right spot for this. Maybe a little bit lower in solo, simply because you start to, not only are enemies a little bit more scarce, but you need the right kind of enemy that you don't mind evading and leaving on the table. There are certain enemies in the game, notoriously the Acolytes and Wizard of the Order, that you can't really afford to leave on the table because they add doom in play. Those sorts of enemies run throughout the game. They have various abilities that are dangerous if you leave them in play. But yeah, I think plus one is, card draw is very strong. So any chance you get to add it to your deck in non-seeker classes is always going to get a bit of a bump. The next card in the box is the 41 Derringer, 3-cost asset, combat skill icon, item, weapon, firearm, and illicit trait. Uses 3 ammo. As an action, you may spend 1 ammo to fight. You get +2 combat for this attack. If you succeed by 2 or more, this attack deals +1 damage, and it takes up a hand slot.
So, unlike the Switchblade, this helps you achieve that succeed by 2 or more goal, which is a night and day difference with this card. While the Switchblade is not good and you should not play it, the Derringer is pretty solid. If you combine it with something like Overpower, Skids is all of a sudden fighting at, a 7?
Yep.
And that's very respectable. You know, you're going to be able to take down some of those, you know, pesky 3-combat, 2-health enemies that can rear their ugly head. If you're able to get even, like, 2 out of 3 of those shots to be 2 damage, I think you're getting pretty good value out of this card.
Yeah, I agree. What I really like about it is that the combat bonus for 41 Derringer is actually greater than the Workhorse 45 automatic. And, I mean, it only does 2 damage if you succeed by 2, but you do have that extra bump in combat to help you get to that succeed by 2. Like you were saying, Nate, this does what Switchblade does not do, and that's help you get to that extra succeed by 2 condition. I love this card very much. I use it all the time.
So this has slightly less ammo than the 45 automatic. Do you think that makes a difference?
It also costs less.
Yeah, it costs less, and I think generally, well, Guardians are going to be shooting pretty much everything because Roland has no agility to speak of. Skids and Wendy can, you know, they can select their targets much more easily. So I don't think the -1 in ammo comes up that often, just because you're going to be able to evade the swarm of rats. You're going to be able to handle those things pretty easily and with other means other than the 41 Derringer.
How do we rate the Derringer?
I'd give this one actually a +1. It's very good at what it does, and that's act as Skids's a weapon for Skids. Even in Wendy, because it gives you +2 combat, this could be your way of dealing with a swarm of rats in Wendy because of that +2 combat. I like this card a lot. I'd give it a +1.
Yeah, I would too. And this is a card that actually gets better as your card pool expands. You know, while we were talking about Tony Morgan for the Switchblade, Tony Morgan loves the Derringer. He is really good with the Derringer.
It's also worth noting at this point, now that we've mentioned a couple of cards that work with the succeed by 2 idea, I should probably note at this point that the Winifred Habimek starter deck comes with the granddaddy of succeed by 2 cards, Lucky Cigarette Case. So once, if you take a look at 41 Derringer and Lucky Cigarette Case, if you look at them together, you can trigger them both on the same combat test. And this is where you can start really getting a lot of synergy out of the rogue when you start combining those succeed by 2 effects together.
Yeah, I think this one is a +1. I mean, it's the +2 combat skill bonus makes a huge difference here for both Skids and Wendy. When Skids is average combat, Wendy is well below average. But, you know, if she does need to kill a rats, this will should take care of that problem for you without too much trouble. And even if you don't happen to succeed by 2 against the rats, you don't need to, because 1 damage is enough to finish them off. But if you run into some run-of-the-mill 2-health enemies, this will certainly do the trick. And there is the level 2 upgrade has been added to the revised core set as well, which we'll take a look at in part 3, which lets you, if you succeed, you can also get a little bit of action advantage, which is right up the rogue's alley as well. The next card in the box, man, this guy needs no introduction. Leo DeLuca, the Louisiana Lion, 6-cost asset, intellect skill icon, ally, criminal traits. You may take an additional action during your turn. 2 health, 2 sanity. One of the best allies in the game, bar none.
Yeah, he is so good. He is expensive, but he is well worth that cost.
He is expensive. I think the only other downside for him is that, okay, first of all, taking an additional action is great. However, he doesn't include a stat bonus, like, say, Dr. Mullen Christopher does. So if your stats are kind of mediocre, Leo DeLuca is not going to solve that problem for you by himself. So he may not go in every rogue deck, but he's very appropriate for a lot of rogue decks. If you have a fit, if you have good actions, and you then taking more is probably a good thing.
Take a resource, play Leo DeLuca is often a very common turn one for a rogue because while you did have to take a resource in order to play Leo in the first place, you get automatically get that action back, so you can do other things. Just make sure that you do have another asset on the table when you play Leo, so you do not lose him to a Crypt Chill. The odds of Skids passing a Crypt Chill test are pretty low out of the gate, and so if you don't have an asset, you could lose Leo as quickly as you play him. I played a lot of Leo, and man, having that extra action every turn, if you get this guy down early enough, you can easily generate 12 or 13 additional actions over the course of a scenario, and those actions add up and can really make a huge difference to your game.
I had a moment of inspiration there. I just realized something. I realized what Switchblade is good for. Feeding it to Crypt Chill.
I was just gonna say, is that the same thing that burglary is good for? Is to
No, but
protect Leo
from
with.
Crypt Chill. Well, Switchblade's fast, so
Oh,
it's the
true.
superior Crypt Chill soak.
Any ratings for Leo?
Yeah, he gets a solid Elder Sign from me. He's more actions, more good.
Yeah, I'd rate Leo a plus one. He is very solid, and he is amazing in a lot of decks. It's just he's a little awkward to get on the table at six cost, especially if you draw him late in the game. That being said, he is still very strong.
Yeah, I'll give him an Elder Sign. He is, yeah, he is. He can be tough if you don't, if you wait, if you have to wait to mid to late game to get him down. But I've had so many games where I've gotten him down early, and don't underestimate that 2 health and 2 sanity. That the ability to soak one and one while keeping him on the table as long as possible is very handy. And he does have enough health and sanity that he is resilient against cards that directly target allies, so you don't necessarily lose him. If you get a bad pull and he has to take a damage, fine, he's still going to be around. And you might ping him for one and one toward the beginning and then try to hang on to him as long as possible. And then at the end, if you need to take an attack of opportunity in order to move and resign or get something done, you've got an ally who can soak that for you, and you're good to go. That's going to do it for our look, part one of our review of the rogue cards in the revised core set. Man, that did not start off well, but we finished strong, which is important.
It's true. It seems like rogues is there's no middle ground with rogues. It's either they're awful or they're awesome.
Yeah, I think you said it in one of our previous reviews. I think it was with Skids that the rogue card pool feels like they weren't quite sure what they wanted rogues to do. And I think this beginning half is sort of the epitome of that statement.
Yeah, it's I find it really fascinating to compare the rogue cards in the revised core set to what came later, where they seem to have a much better idea as to, okay, here's what we want rogues to do. We want them to generate a lot of resources, and we want them to be able to leverage, get some action advantage. And we want to provide them with, like, Leo is a very solid ally, but I would say that some of the allies they have released since really give Leo a run for his money, once your card pool grows. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your Elder Sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.